Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlund. You know, that song right there, Last Dance with Mary Jane, or Mary Jane's Last Dance by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, that was ruled the second best Tom Petty song ever. In a poll that I saw online that said Tom Petty songs ranked the greatest Tom Petty songs in order, and it had I think 10 through 1, and that song right there was number 2, the second greatest Tom Petty song of all time,
Mary Jane's Last Dance.
Yeah.
How do you, when you hear that song, how do you interpret it?
I think it's a great song, and I remember the video.
Okay.
With the dead, was it Kim Basinger, the actress? I think it was her who was in the video, and I think that's a. That's a great song. And I know music is subjective, and I know different people prefer different songs from artists. But a few weeks ago, I just happened to be online, and I saw Tom Petty songs ranked. And it was a music website. I don't know exactly which one it was, but it was very interesting. And I agreed with a bunch of it. They had Free Fallin' ranked as the greatest Tom Petty song ever.
When I hear
And I'm free falling.
Yeah. I don't know. When I hear the lyrics to Mary Jane's Last Dance, it sounds like he wants to hit the weed one more time before he gives it up.
Smoke weed every day.
He's like,
you can hear,
you know,
that.
One last dance with Mary Jane, you know, one more time to kill the pain. It's like he wants to smoke weed one last time just to relax before he says, all right, I got to give the weed up. That's what it sounds like to me. But I know, like you said, it's subjective. It's, everybody has their own interpretation.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, bands make videos for their songs because they help promote the song. But the bad thing about the video is if you see things in the video that you don't hear in the song.
Yeah.
And you know, every artist will tell you, if they're ever asked what that song is about, they'll tell you it's about whatever you think it's about. That's what that song's about. So when you see the video for Mary Jane's Last Dance and there's a dead Kim Basinger in the video, it's like, wow, well, I didn't think it was about, you know, Kim Basinger being dead and whether she was Mary Jane in the video or not. You know, that's up to, you know, everybody can come up with their own meaning for what the song means. And then again, in the rankings I saw, it said Free Fallin' from Tom Petty was the greatest song he ever did. Last Dance with Mary Jane, Mary Jane's Last Dance was the second best song he ever did. American Girl was the third best song he ever did. And I got to be honest with you, those are three great songs, and those may be the three greatest Tom Petty songs. Again, it's subjective. But that's always fun. If you're hanging out with your friends or your soulmate or whoever, and you say, hey, what's the greatest song Tom Petty ever did? I mean, it's hard not to say Free Fallin' is his best song.
Yeah. I wonder what Tim Petit's top 10 songs are.
Yeah, the Tom Petty tribute band here in New Orleans that is made up of all New Orleans musicians who are all in their own original bands, but they But they get together once in a while, and they play Tom Petty songs, and they call themselves Tim Petit.
Yeah, I wonder what their top songs are. Probably the same, right? Free Falling.
But Tom Petty's one of those artists, Coleman, who has so many really, really good songs. It's hard to rank the 10 best Tom Petty songs. But again, I have a tough time saying Free Fallin' isn't his best song, that American Girl isn't his second or third best song, that Last Dance with Mary Jane isn't his second or third best song. I mean, you know, where's Refugee? Where's Breakdown? They're right up there. You'd have to say those are in the argument as well. I mean, he had a lot of great songs, and he died way too early. I miss Tom Petty. I miss the Heartbreakers. Yesterday on our show, we played the song, the Don Henley song, Boys of Summer. Did you know that Tom Petty's Heartbreaker guitarist, Mike Campbell, wrote the music for that song? He wrote that song, and then he brought it to Tom Petty, and Tom Petty really wasn't feeling it. And he said to Mike Campbell, you know, you take this and do something with it, or give it to somebody else. And Mike Campbell just happened to bump into Don Henley. He might have made a phone call to a record guy saying, hey, I got this music. My guy, Tom Petty, isn't feeling it. Let me give it to Don Henley to see if he's feeling it. And sure enough, Don Henley heard the music to Boys of Summer, and he said, you know what? Let me take this home. Let me listen to this. Let me see if I can come up with some lyrics and something. And sure enough, Don Henley came up with Boys of Summer for the music that guitarist Mike Campbell from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers wrote. And he first put it in front of Tom Petty, and Tom Petty said, I wasn't really hearing anything. I wasn't really feeling it. And Don Henley ends up writing the lyrics to Boys of Summer to the music of that song. And that ended up being Don Henley's greatest song that he wrote on his own.
Which is weird, because Don Henley's Boys of Summer, and when you hear the guitar riff from American Girl, they seem sort of similar. So you would think that Tom Petty would kind of feel it. Like
a little bit.
Yeah, some of the riffs are kind of similar when you visualize, well, audibly hear it in your head when you run it back. They have the same kind of vibe.
So anyways, I thought that was cool. And if you didn't know that Mike Campbell, the guitarist of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, wrote the music for Boys of Summer, he did. And boy, Don Henley certainly made something of that piece of music.
I learned something today.
Well, we try every day. All right. Coming up on the show this morning, police are looking for a woman who bit off most of the ear of a police officer last Friday night at a bar in Houma. She pulled a Mike Tyson, and cops are looking for her. She was fighting with a group of women at a bar this past Friday night in Houma. Police showed up to break up the fight. And wouldn't you know, while one cop was breaking up the fight between the women, this one woman, she bit off most of his ear. And then I think she did what Mike Tyson did with Evander Holyfield. I think she just spit it on the ground. She went, poof. Not very womanly. And I'm looking at her picture. She's got a gap between her front teeth that you would think the cop's ear would have gotten stuck in that gap. Stay tuned for that. And if you know someone, work with someone on a regular basis, see them on a regular basis, and they stink, they smell, you'd have to tell them, right?
Why are you looking at me like that, John?
Stay tuned for those reports and a lot of rocking to do this morning on the show. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlund. There's a local woman who police are looking for, and they say she bit off a police officer's ear. This happened Friday night. Authorities say a Houma woman is wanted. Down in Houma, this past Friday night, she was at a bar there, and a fight broke out with some women, a female fight Friday night at a bar in Houma. Coleman, we've been down to Houma a few times. We've had a good time every time we've been in Houma, in or around Houma.
Yep, never saw any female fights when we went.
Never saw that. But this past Friday night at a bar in Houma, it was Joni B's Bar on Howard Avenue in Houma. It was about quarter after midnight. Police got a call that several women were fighting in the parking lot of Joni B's Bar.
Have you ever witnessed like females fighting like throughout your lifetime?
Yeah, I've witnessed that a few times.
Well, when you see females fighting, do you have that thought in the back of your head, like you cross your fingers hoping one of their boobs pop out in the middle of the fight? Like,
sure.
All right, I just want to make sure it wasn't me, because I've seen females fight a few times, and I know I'm supposed to go in and try to break it up and preserve the peace, but there's that one thought in the back of my head, like, you know, if this goes on long enough, a boob might accidentally pop out, and I didn't know whether I should feel guilty about that or not.
Well, when the police showed up and they tried breaking up the fight, during the struggle, one police officer grabbed Michelle Smith, and he was trying to get her to stop fighting. And according to police, Michelle Smith completely bit a large portion of the right ear completely off the police officer, and she fled the area before she could be apprehended. The officer was taken to a local medical facility, and he's currently recovering from the injury. Michelle Smith is now wanted on one count of second-degree battery, and a warrant has been issued for her arrest. But obviously, if you know or see Michelle Smith, be very careful. You know, when criminals are being looked for, authorities always tell you, you know, watch out, be careful, because the criminal could be armed and dangerous. Here, the criminal, Michelle Smith, she may not be armed with a gun, but she's armed with her teeth, and if she's willing to bite the ear off of a police officer who is trying to get her to stop fighting, she's willing to do pretty much anything. I mean, think about that. What type of mind does a woman have to have if she's in a fight in a bar parking lot at quarter after 12, and when the cop shows up to break up the fight, she then decides to bite the ear, most of the ear, off of the police officer who's telling her to stop fighting.
I'm going to assume that alcohol played a large part in that decision. I mean, they are at a bar, and you're not going to a bar at around midnight not to drink. So I'm quite sure she was drunk. And but the thing is, where does one like that go now? Where is Homer? Where do you go and nobody knows you? We have your name, Michelle Smith. We know how you look. We have your picture. So did she flee town? Somebody has to know who she is, right? Is she going to pop up in California or something?
Well, her picture's all over the local media. And she's smiling, and she's got a big gap in her between her two front teeth. And you would think part of the ear would have gotten stuck. Part of that cop's ear would have been stuck in the gap between her two front teeth.
Yeah. Eric says, "I'll be sure to keep an ear on the ground for her."
Hmm. Good job, Eric.
David says the officer should be happy that she wasn't on her knees. Hey now, David. Hey.
Ooh.
Hey.
That's scary. Well, you got Mike Tyson and you got Michelle Smith of Homa.
It must be tough being a police officer, you know, waking up one day with your whole ear, then working your shift, then after that shift, the next day you don't have a part of your ear. You know, being a police officer is a very dangerous job.
Well, every police officer would tell you their whole goal when they wake up in the morning is to have a good day at work and then come home and come home exactly like they went to work. And he didn't leave for work on Friday with 1 1/4 ears. He left with 2 full ears.
Yeah, that's a rough one. I wouldn't want to go to work the next day. Can I take the rest of the week off?
Well, like I said, he was taken to a medical center where he was being worked on. Again, I don't know if she did like Mike Tyson when he fought Evander Holyfield. I don't know if she spit the ear out of her mouth onto the ground before she fled. You would hope she did, and they're able to reattach the police officer's ear there in Homa.
Here's hoping. Ugh.
You know, in the picture of her going around, it's just her smiling face.
Yeah, I think they found that off social media. I don't think that's not, they didn't find the picture of her, like, you know, when she actually bit the ear off.
No, that wasn't from Friday night. It's just a picture of her to say, this is who we're looking for. But, you know, you look at a woman, Michelle Smith, here smiling, and you know, the last thing you'd think of is she'd be biting the ear off of a police officer.
Wouldn't that be ironic if that was the last thing she thought, too? Like, she didn't wake up expecting to bite a person's ear off.
Yeah, but when she's fighting in that bar's parking lot in Homa, 12:15 this past Friday night, who's to think she would lose her head so much that when someone, a police officer in uniform, tried to break up the fight she was in, that she would then decide in her state of mind at that moment to bite the ear off of a police officer.
Now, I hope they find it. What has been a few days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday?
Yeah, you know, most people, Coleman, who are in a fight, if a cop in uniform is breaking up the fight, they would listen to the cop without biting off the majority of his ear.
I wonder what they were fighting about. You think it was about a man? Or you think it was about astrophysics? You think it was about the theory of relativity?
Well, most men fight, and this is in a bar parking lot or anywhere else, most men fight over either money or a woman. So why would most women be fighting? Would it be the same reason, over money or a man?
Who's to say?
Or do you think here that Michelle Smith felt disrespected? So someone, in her opinion, disrespected her.
It's hard to tell. Women, I've seen women fight over having the same pair of shoes, so who's to tell? This text says, does she paint art? Is she a reverse Vince Van Gogh?
Van Gogh lost his ear.
No, he didn't lose it. He cut it off.
Yeah, you can text us if you want. We always appreciate the texts. If you've got something to add to this, 504-260-9595. Always keep your text short. If it's good, we will read it coming up on the show. And please never text while you're driving. You don't see this very often where a woman bites off a cop's ear. Did you hear me?
No, I had to put my ear back in.
Boy, oh boy. All right, we have a lot of stuff to get to on the show this morning. If you know someone or work with someone who stinks, and I mean they smell, you got to tell them, right? You can't just keep letting them show up stinking. We'll tell you about that. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. I just read, well, today is National Fast Food Day. And according to the CDC, 36% of Americans eat fast food every day. Can you believe that? And according to a new study, the unhealthiest fast food item is Wendy's Pretzel Bacon Pub Triple Cheeseburger. That contains 1,910 milligrams of sodium, 45 grams of fat, and 1,520 calories. You know, I've seen on that show, My 600-Pound Life, when that doctor in Houston tries to get those people to lose weight, he puts them on a 1,200-calorie-a-day diet. 1,200 calories a day. This one sandwich has 1,520 calories in it. And it's recommended by 4 out of 5 financially strapped cardiac surgeons. The Pretzel Bacon Pub Triple Cheeseburger from Wendy's. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. In Lafourche Parish the other day, the cops there were following around a drug dealer, a guy that they had known because he had been arrested before for selling drugs. He had been arrested this past May, and they suspected he was still dealing drugs. So the other day, Lafourche Parish Police pulled him over in a traffic stop. During the stop, the cops had a canine dog there, and that canine alerted the officers to the possible presence of narcotics inside the vehicle. During the search of the vehicle, police in Lafourche Parish located a loaf of bread in its retail packaging. Inside the package, they discovered part of the loaf of bread had been hollowed out to conceal a bag containing over 50 grams of methamphetamine.
I'm on meth.
Meth bread! And so they arrested the man for, I mean, he's a drug dealer in Lafourche Parish.
Yeah.
He's already been arrested this year back in May for dealing drugs. Cops suspected him again.
Yeah,
but it was a traffic stop, and this is where he hid the methamphetamine. inside the loaf of bread, meth bread, Coleman.
Yeah, I just don't like the idea of cops following a person around just to, waiting for them to make a mistake so they can have an excuse to bust them. That, I get it. Meth is wrong. Don't sell meth, whatever. But the fact that the cop, if the cops are just following this guy around on a suspicion and they're waiting on him to do something dumb like he didn't use his blanker just to have an excuse to pull him over, that something about that doesn't sit well with me. I don't like that. Ugh, that sounds like... And I don't know. It just seems wrong.
Well, he's in his 40s. Like I said, they suspected him. He has a record.
I get all that, but if you're just following a guy around just for him to make a mistake so you have an excuse to bust him, that something about that doesn't seem morally accurate to me.
I don't know what he did to get pulled over, but he was pulled over in Lafourche Parish. And the Lafourche Parish authorities... They had the canine dog there and started barking.
I hope there was more to it than it was a random traffic stop. I hope there was more to it than that.
Yeah, meth, pretty dangerous drug. You know, meth isn't one of those drugs that, it's not like taking a pill or a drug that some people can enjoy now and then. You know, usually when people are on meth, they want more, and they want more, and they want more.
Yeah, they tweak out.
Yeah, a lot of tweaking is done.
I'm on meth.
By meth users. But now the cops found this drug dealer's dope, found his meth, and it was inside of a loaf of bread.
Bread is pretty healthy, though, so, I mean, a lot of carbs, but.
Yeah, well, meth bread is not good for you, obviously. No. All right, coming up next on the show, got this morning's Big O segment. You got to be honest with someone if you work with them or see them regularly. If they smell bad, right? If they stink, you have to tell them. You can't let them keep walking around stinking, right? That's coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, I'm John Osterlund. And since it's a few minutes after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O.
Oh. Oh.
Always want to get your take on the Big O. If you work with someone, now that a bunch of people are getting back to the office after this pandemic, or if this happened before, if you know someone or you work with them and they smell bad, Should you tell them? You know, this happened to me. I used to work with someone that stunk. And after a couple days, I said that I have to say something. And I'm not doing it to be mean. I'm doing it because this person literally stinks. And so I said something to him. And you know what he said to me? I said, look. I said, dude, I like you. You're a good person, but I've got to tell you. You smell. You have an odor coming from you that is not good. You know what he said to me? He said, I know exactly what I smell like, and I smell like this on purpose because I don't want people getting too close to me.
Good answer. Good answer.
How about that?
Good answer. That's genius. Why did not think of that? Huh. Wow.
But I think some of us know someone, whether it's a friend or a friend of a friend or a relative or someone we work with, that smells bad. And you may think it's wrong to tell them because it's mean, but when you tell the truth, that's where that cliche comes from. Sometimes the truth hurts, but you're just being honest. That's why you need to tell someone if they smell bad, right?
To me, it depends on what type of smell it is and whether or not the person can do something about it. Because I've had some coworkers that's just their natural body smell, and no matter what they do, they can't do anything about it. So you can't, telling them is not going to make a difference. Whereas if it's something like musk, like they forgot to put deodorant on, or maybe they're using the wrong type of deodorant, or if their clothes have that sour water smell, like they didn't dry, they wash their clothes correctly. Yeah, you could tell them about that because those are things that could be fixed. But if it's their natural body odor, and no matter what they do, they can't fix it. Maybe something's wrong with their pH balance or something. Maybe they're eating the wrong type of foods. It doesn't make no sense to tell them because it can't change. That's just how they smell.
But Coleman, slow down.
Okay.
Body odor is body odor.
Yes.
BO smells a certain way.
Yeah, but there's different types. There's sweaty body odor. There's musty body odor. There's bad breath. Like, you can tell somebody about their bad breath. However, what if they have halitosis and they can't do nothing about it? I've had a church member, well, back when I went to church, there was one church member, no matter what they did, their breath would always smell because they had a mouth disease. So it didn't matter whether you told them or not. They knew they couldn't do anything about it. Whereas if somebody just had bad breath for that time and being, you give them a mint or your breath kind of smells, you can tell those people because they can fix it. You see what I mean?
Like you and I work in this room together. Our studio here at Bayou, it's not that big.
Mm-hmm.
And if Coleman stunk, I would have to tell you if you stunk, because I have to sit in this small room with you 5 days a week.
I understand that, and I would too, depending on what the smell is. Because sometimes after you go downstairs to get your muffin and your banana, you let a few ripped. But that's your that happens when you eat. You pass gas.
Hey, that's a digestive issue.
Exactly. Right? So it doesn't make no sense for me to tell you, wow, John, you let one rip. I know you thought it was silent, but I could smell it. Because you're going to do it again the next time you have a banana and a muffin. But that's just what your body does. Now, if it's just a body odor that you can fix, I would definitely be like, John, you got to wash under your arms or something. But the passing of the gas is like, well, that happens when you eat the banana and the muffin. So what am I supposed to do? Tell you not to eat? I think the best news you gave me all day was that the store downstairs was closed for repairs or something like that for the rest of the week. So I don't have to deal with it later on when you try to go downstairs to get your banana.
Wait, slow down. You're telling me that on a regular basis after I have something to eat near that I fart? That's what you're telling me?
Sometimes. You don't smell yourself?
I mean, occasionally. I mean, I think we all, you know, sometimes you have to, but I don't think regularly.
Not regularly, but, you know, it's happened a few times. But what can you do? Everybody passes gas, so that's not nothing I should, because I can't tell you to stop passing gas. You'll blow up and explode. So, but if it's something different, like you just have a natural body odor that you can wash, yeah, I would tell you. But if it's something like you burp or you fart, it doesn't matter to me. That's just natural.
If you're listening, I want to hear from you. Text us. Have you ever had a friend, a family member, someone you work with, someone that you see regularly, and they stink? You have to tell them. Now, you be polite when you tell them, and you can say, look, I like you. I'm just telling you this because I like you. Like I had to do one time. I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm not just walking by you saying, hey, you stink. But if I have to be this close to you regularly, you can't be smelling like this. Now, I have one friend and I've said this before on the show, he says he has never, ever in his life used deodorant, but he never stunk. You know that friend of mine, Cole.
Mm-hmm. You told me that, and you're right. I've never known him to have a bad body odor, and it surprised me when he said that he didn't wear deodorant. I'm like, what? Because he actually smells decent when you're around him. You don't smell anything from him.
But if we know someone who literally smells bad, he's got body funk. He's got BO, or she's got BO. I think this is more of a man thing than a woman thing. Usually women walk by, they always smell so good. Usually.
Usually, yeah.
Like when a woman you work with or walks by, whether it's what she put in her hair or you know, a woman will walk by and like the whole area just it comes alive. It smells fantastic. This is usually a guy thing. Have you ever dealt with this? And if you do, you have to tell them, right? I think you're only hurting the situation and you're hurting yourself because you got to deal with it if you don't tell them.
Once again, if it's something that I know they can fix with a wash off or maybe something different, a different procedure, maybe a different deodorant, yes, I would tell them. But if it's something natural that they can't fix for whatever reason, whether it's a gum disease or whether they just smell bad naturally because they sweat a lot, it doesn't make no sense to tell them because they can't fix it even if they tried.
Well, if you're going to say something to someone who smells bad, just do it respectfully.
Yep.
And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Is this something that you've ever had to deal with? Text us, 504-260-9595. If your text is good, we'll read it coming up next on the show. Always keep your text short. And please never text while you're driving. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. With Thanksgiving around the corner, airports are facing a shortage of TSA officers. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, I'm John Osterlund. And since it's a few minutes after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O.
Oh. Oh.
Always want to get your take on the Big O. If you work with someone, now that a bunch of people are getting back to the office after this pandemic, or if this happened before, if you know someone or you work with them and they smell bad, Should you tell them? You know, this happened to me. I used to work with someone that stunk. And after a couple days, I said that I have to say something. And I'm not doing it to be mean. I'm doing it because this person literally stinks. And so I said something to him. And you know what he said to me? I said, look. I said, dude, I like you. You're a good person, but I've got to tell you. You smell. You have an odor coming from you that is not good. You know what he said to me? He said, I know exactly what I smell like, and I smell like this on purpose because I don't want people getting too close to me.
Good answer. Good answer.
How about that?
Good answer. That's genius. Why didn't I think of that?
Huh.
Wow.
But I think some of us know someone, whether it's a friend or a friend of a friend or a relative or someone we work with, that smells bad. And you may think it's wrong to tell them because it's mean. But when you tell the truth, that's where that cliche comes from. Sometimes the truth hurts, but you're just being honest. That's why you need to tell someone if they smell bad, right?
To me, it depends on what type of smell it is and whether or not the person can do something about it. Because I've had some coworkers that's just their natural body smell, and no matter what they do, they can't do anything about it. So telling them is not going to make a difference. Whereas if it's something like musk, like they forgot to put deodorant on, or maybe they're using the wrong type of deodorant, or if their clothes have that sour water smell, like they didn't wash their clothes correctly. Yeah, you could tell them about that because those are things that could be fixed. But if it's their natural body odor, and no matter what they do, they can't fix it. Maybe something's wrong with their pH balance or something. Maybe they're eating the wrong type of foods. It doesn't make no sense to tell them because it can't change. That's just how they smell.
But Coleman, slow down.
Okay.
Body odor is body odor.
Yes.
BO smells a certain way.
Yeah, but there's different types. There's sweaty body odor. There's musty body odor. There's bad breath. Like, you can tell somebody about their bad breath. However, what if they have halitosis and they can't do nothing about it? I've had a church member, well, back when I went to church, there was one church member, no matter what they did, their breath would always smell because they had a mouth disease. So it didn't matter whether you told them or not. They knew they couldn't do anything about it. Whereas if somebody just had bad breath for that time and then you give them a mint or your breath kind of smells, you can tell those people because they can fix it. You see what I mean?
Like you and I work in this room together. Our studio here at Bayou, it's not that big.
Mm-hmm.
And if Coleman stunk, I would have to tell you if you stunk, because I have to sit in this small room with you 5 days a week.
I understand that, and I would too, depending on what the smell is. Because sometimes after you go downstairs to get your muffin and your banana, you let a few ripped. But that's your that happens when you eat. You pass gas.
Hey, that's a digestive issue.
Exactly. Right? So it doesn't make no sense for me to tell you, wow, John, you let one rip. I know you thought it was silent, but I could smell it. Because you're going to do it again the next time you have a banana and a muffin. But that's just what your body does. Now, if it's just a body odor that you can fix, I would definitely be like, John, you got to wash under your arms or something. But the passing of the gas is like, well, that happens when you eat the banana and the muffin. So what am I supposed to do? Tell you not to eat? I think the best news you gave me all day was that the store downstairs was closed for repairs or something like that for the rest of the week. So I don't have to deal with it later on when you try to go downstairs to get your banana.
Wait, slow down. You're telling me that on a regular basis after I have something to eat in here that I fart? That's what you're telling me?
Sometimes. You don't smell yourself?
I mean, occasionally. I mean, I think we all, you know, sometimes you have to, but I don't think regularly.
Not regularly, but, you know, it's happened a few times. But what can you do? Everybody passes gas, so that's not nothing I should, because I can't tell you to stop passing gas. You'll blow up and explode. So, but if it's something different, like you just have a natural body odor that you can wash, yeah, I would tell you. But if it's something like you burp or you fart, it doesn't matter to me. That's just natural.
If you're listening, I want to hear from you. Text us. Have you ever had a friend, a family member, someone you work with, someone that you see regularly, and they stink? You have to tell them. Now, you be polite when you tell them, and you can say, look, I like you. I'm just telling you this because I like you. Like I had to do one time. I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm not just walking by you saying, hey, you stink. But if I have to be this close to you regularly, you can't be smelling like this. Now, I have one friend, and I've said this before on the show. He says he has never, ever in his life used deodorant, but he never stunk. You know that friend of mine, Cole.
Mm-hmm. You told me that, and you're right. I've never known him to have a bad body odor, and it surprised me when he said that he didn't wear deodorant. I'm like, what? Because he actually smells decent when you're around him. You don't smell anything from him.
But if we know someone who literally smells bad, he's got body funk. He's got BO, or she's got BO. I think this is more of a man thing than a woman thing. Usually women walk by, they always smell so good. Usually,
yeah.
Like when a woman you work with or walks by, whether it's what she put in her hair or you know, a woman will walk by and like the whole area just starts, it comes alive. It smells fantastic. This is usually a guy thing. Have you ever dealt with this? And if you do, you have to tell them, right? I think you're only hurting the situation and you're hurting yourself because you got to deal with it if you don't tell them.
Once again, if it's something that I know they can fix with a wash off or maybe something different, a different procedure, maybe a different deodorant, yes, I would tell them. But if it's something natural that they can't fix for whatever reason, whether it's a gum disease or whether they just smell bad naturally because they sweat a lot, it doesn't make no sense to tell them because they can't fix it even if they tried.
Well, if you're going to say something to someone who smells bad, just do it respectfully.
Yeah.
And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Is this something that you've ever had to deal with? Text us, 504-260-9595. If your text is good, we'll read it coming up next on the show. Always keep your text short. And please never text while you're driving. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. With Thanksgiving around the corner, airports are facing a shortage of TSA officers. As a result, travelers should be prepared to fondle themselves. What a difference this year, Thanksgiving, compared to last year, huh? We can actually live our lives again. Coming up next, your texts on have you ever worked or hung out with someone who stunk and you had to tell them, right? You can't just go on and not tell them. You're helping them out if you tell them. Your texts on that are next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. You know, the reason that Survivor song, Eye of the Tiger, became so known is because Sylvester Stallone asked the band Queen to use Another One Bites the Dust for his Rocky movie. And Queen said no. And so he needed another song. And he said, this song by Survivor, Eye of the Tiger, sounds cool. And he ended up putting that song in the movie. And look what it did for that band. That band could live off that one song. And from what I understand, they do. That one song has made them millions of dollars. And go figure, it should have been the Queen song, Another One Bites the Dust. But they said, no, we don't want to give you permission to use that song in your Rocky movie, Sly. Sorry, pal. Great break for the band Survivor. So this morning's Big O segment, if you're just joining us, is if you know someone or work with someone who smells bad, they have body odor, they got the BO, you need to tell them, right? Be respectful about it. But if you don't tell them, I think you're hurting them more than if you do tell them. And again, be nice about it, but say, look, I like you, but I got to tell you something. You smell bad. You stink. You know, do something about it. And I asked you to text us. That's right, right? And have you ever worked or had to be with someone that smelled bad? You have to tell them, right?
This first text says, we had a buddy in the military that was notorious for not showering, so we broke out the fire hose and sprayed him one day.
You know, I bet in the military that sometimes can be an issue, because in the military you can't always shower when you want to or you need to. I mean, I'm thinking about World War II.
Are you talking about on the lines? I think they just mean, you know, just on the base.
Oh. Huh.
Okay. This text says, I had to tell a guy that served in the military every day how bad his BO was. Then we found out he didn't care because he was born without a sense of smell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. Aaron says, I had a roommate in the Marine Corps that stunk so bad we threw him out, threw him and his stuff out of the room because he wouldn't shower for weeks on end. What is these people? Like, I'm noticing a pattern that there are people that don't shower for some reason. See, that's fixable. That is something you can tell somebody, like, dude, you got to start showering or something, because that's something they can actually do. Nothing's stopping them from showering.
Because Coleman earlier said that there are some people that just stink, and it doesn't matter what they do, they're always going to stink. You know, but you still have to tell them. You smell bad.
Kelly from Pearl River says, I worked at a swamp tour company. My boss had to tell this bigger girl that she smelled because everyone was complaining.
Man, and that's around the swamp, too. Jesus.
Yeah, Fausto says, I had a coworker whose clothes always stunk from being left in the dryer all day long, and I could never bring myself to tell that person, even though I wanted to so badly. Now, that's one I would say, because I've had clothes that smell like that. Like, when you leave the clothes in the washer for too long before you get to dry them, they have the stale water type smell to it. I can't explain it, but I've been guilty of that, and I just had to wash my clothes. But yeah, that's something you can tell somebody, because they can wash their clothes over again and get that smell.
But that's not body odor. That's not BO.
But it's still something that stinks. Some people are bad for that. Some people don't smell that stale water smell in their clothes, and they go to work like that.
BO has a specific smell. It's like when you watch a police show and you see a cop say, oh, there's a dead body in the room. If you've ever smelled that, you'll know what it is as soon as you smell it again.
Yeah, but you would still
body odor's the same way.
Yeah, but you still would want to tell somebody their clothes smell bad too. You know, this text says, we worked with a guy that was allergic to all perfumes and colognes, and yes, he did stink in the middle of the day and so on.
Man, that would suck, being allergic to all perfume and cologne.
But deodorant, does that count as a perfume or a cologne?
I bet you that guy's probably allergic to that too.
This text says, I work with my husband, and yes, he stinks. Oh, well, I'm sorry.
You just don't work with him. You gotta.
This text says, my pheromones smell delicious, or so my wife says.
What's that?
My pheromones smell delicious to my wife, she tells me. That's what it is. Yeah. This text says, you have to tell them. If you don't, you won't have the chance. All right. If you don't, they won't have the chance to smell better if possible. And it also says, Coleman, how does your nose know if an odor is fixable or not? But that's easy. Different body parts have different body odors. Like, your feet smell different from your armpits. Your armpits smell better than your butt. Your butt smells better than bad breath. And I've had some people, like the two people that I know that can't do anything about it. One, she had halitosis. And she went to the doctor for it. She couldn't do anything about it. And it's a different smell. The halitosis and rotten tooth smell is different from a regular bad breath smell. You can smell the difference. Just like, I had a coworker who sweated profusely. No matter how much soap and shampoo he used, he just smelled like that. He couldn't do anything about it. That's just his natural body odor. And the only way that would be able to change is if he changed his diet, which wasn't going to help because I think that came from the foods that he ate. So there are certain things you can smell the difference between different types of EO smells and which ones are pretty much fixable and which ones is like, that's just that guy.
And if you're just joining us, I mentioned earlier in the show how I once worked with someone who stunk, and I smelled them for a few different days, and I finally said something. I said, "Look, I like you. I'm saying this because I like you. You have body odor. You stink." And he looked right at me and said, "I know exactly how I smell. I don't want people getting close to me."
Well, that's a strategy.
Wow. And it blew my mind.
Ray in Covington says, "Y'all stink because y'all never read my texts."
Hey, see that, Ray?
He texted that a couple times, actually.
How about that? And I know, and I mentioned to Coleman, he and I work in this small little studio. The Bayou studio is not very big. And if he stunk, I would know, just like if I stunk, he would know. And I mean, we would have to say something. I mean, you can't not say something. Just be respectful about it. Be nice about it. And because there are some people who stink. And that's a fact. We appreciate your texts. Thank you. We always do. And we always invite you to text our show no matter what we're talking about. Coming up, I still have the dumbest thing I read all morning. Boy, I heard this one rock star say he hates another rock star who pretty much everybody loves. And O.J. Simpson is back in the news. Stay tuned for those reports. We still got a lot to get to on the show this morning here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlind. Yesterday, it was announced that Journey is coming to New Orleans. Journey is playing with, I've seen either Billy Idol or Toto. And what I saw about New Orleans, that show, I saw Journey and Toto. Boy, it's something when you think of Journey, Billy Idol, and Toto. And it's going to be 2022. I mean, you're talking about bands that were big 40 years ago. You know, what year is it? Oh, really? Journey and Toto, Billy Idol. Wow, they're headlining arenas. They're playing arenas all over the country in 2022. That's something. Our show here in New Orleans is Friday night, April 15th, at the Smoothie King Center, and we're going to give tickets away to that show starting today. Listen at 9:25. And you hear us play Journey at 9:25.
Yeah, within those hours, the 9 o'clock hour, the 2 p.m. hour, and the 5 p.m. hour. There's going to be a Journey song that plays in one of those hours.
Be listening, and if you hear Journey, then you go to our website, bayou957.com, click on the box that says, "Hey, win Journey tickets." And then you just, I think you
put in the title of the song.
Type in the name of the song. So that's cool. Tickets go on sale Friday for everybody. I think the pre-sale is Thursday. Life slowly getting back to normal. And that's it's cool. And you know that Journey box on our website where you click, that's right below our King of the Bayou football NFL picks competition that we're having. And by the way, if you haven't signed up yet, we're at the halfway point of the season. You could still win $50 to spend at Zapardo's Family Market if you pick the most winners each week. And there's no point spread. You just pick the games. So when you get a second, if you haven't signed up yet, go sign up. It's free. It doesn't cost none. Sign up at our website, Bayou957.com, and you could be in our King of the Bayou football contest. You won't be able to win the grand prize anymore because that's for people who've been in it from week one, and we're giving out $6,000 worth of stuff, including a diamond ring, an autographed Drew Brees Saints jersey, an autographed Drew Brees football. Giving away some cool stuff. But if you sign up now, if you haven't been in it, you could still win our weekly prize for the most winning picks each week, and that's the $50 to spend at Zapardo's Family Market in Metairie. So go to our website, Bayou957.com, and then click on the King of the Bayou. And again, right next to that is where you win the journey tickets as well. Our website's cool. A lot of cool things on our website at Bayou957.com.
Yeah, even some tailgate tickets to see the Saints and the Buffalo games. How about that?
Coleman, are you still winning when it comes to Bayou crew with our King of the Bayou?
I'm winning. I'm dominating. I think I'm up by 5 right now.
Wow.
At 75. You're second place at 70. Ginty fell back to like fourth. I think right now, even the boss man, he's in the top 4. So he beat Ginty out.
So you're in first place by 5 games over me?
Yes.
I got to turn that around in the second half of the season. I mean, I got to defend my championship. I won the King of the Bayou last year for the Bayou crew, and I've got to win again because I know more about football than you do.
Yeah, I'm at 75. You're second at 70. Josh, our traffic guy, is at 68, and he's tied with Kevin, our boss man, at 68. And Ginty fell to 63. Huh.
Wow, he fell off the map.
Yeah. I hope Ginty's okay. It's all that running he was doing. Probably scrambling his brain.
Our website, Bayou957.com, it's a cool website. We tweaked it, we updated it, we got a lot of good stuff on there. Hey, you see who just made the news? O.J. Simpson is in the news again. Evidently, the other night, an attractive woman was somewhere, a bar. And O.J. Simpson came in, and she decided to make a video of herself with O.J., and she put it on TikTok. I mean, what would you do if you were in a bar or a restaurant or a store and O.J. Simpson walked in? I mean, would you say, hey, come here, I want to make a video with you and put it on TikTok? And in the video, I think he tried kissing her.
Yeah, he tried.
And she backed away.
Rejected!
Yeah, she's this blonde woman.
In all fairness, the way she was fangirling over OJ, I think he caught the mixed signals. Because she was like, oh, it's OJ. He's a Cadillac. So I think she was so into OJ's fangirling that when OJ was like, oh, I might have a chance with this one. So I think he went in because she was kind of close.
OJ's thinking that it's life before he pretty much decapitated his wife with a knife and her friend Ronald Goldman.
Clearly. He read the signals wrong. Yep.
He lives in Las Vegas. And you know, he goes out places. I mean, he was affected by the pandemic as well, but evidently when he goes out places, people still go up to him and they, hey, OJ, I mean, look what he did. Yet people would still go up and get right next to him and
To be honest, I don't understand why OJ's going out. He is 74 years old. What the hell is this geriatric ass going out to clubs for in the first place? Did you know he was 74?
Yeah, he's OJ.
What the hell is he? What does his 74-year-old ass need to carry his ass home somewhere? Instead, he's out with the clubs with these 20-something teeny boppers.
Do you know the life he lived before he killed his wife and her friend? Do you know the life he lived? Everywhere he went, people went up to him. Attractive women went up to him and said, "Hey, OJ, what's up?" So in his mind, you know, he's probably thinking, well, you know, that's how my life always was. And sure, now it's a little bit different, but I'm still OJ.
Yeah, I get that. But once again, if I was in that position and this woman was doing the stuff she was doing, putting me on videos, singing all my praises and all that, I would have thought she was into me too. OJ fell when he went into the kiss and she did that little lateral move and she dove out the way. But before that, it really looked like she was into OJ. I can't blame him for believing that, because she was giving out all the wrong signals.
But when he tried to kiss her, the look on her face got very awkward.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. She completely transformed. She's like, oh, and backed up. But before that, it looked like she was really into some OJ.
Wow. I wish I could tell you what I would do if I was sitting at a bar or in a restaurant and OJ walked in. I
would just go, huh, and that was it, and continue drinking my beer.
You wouldn't say killer?
No, I wouldn't say anything to OJ. No.
Anything like that?
No. No, I would not. I wouldn't want to leave suddenly, because I think that'll be too obvious that I might feel uncomfortable. Like, I got to get out of here. OJ's here. But I would finish my beer and say, oh, that's it for me. Got to go home.
Wow. Well, OJ, he's still living his life. He's going out. He's going up to younger blonde women and talking to them, being in videos with them, trying to kiss them. Gee, how about that?
Yeah, this text says, pimping don't die. All right, I guess OJ's big pimping with a 74-year-old ass.
Yeah, what would you do if you were out someplace and OJ walked in? It would be tough for me not to say something about him killing his wife and
you don't think
and
he's
her friend.
He's had to hear it all by now. He's all on Twitter. You think there's nothing you can say to OJ that he hasn't heard already, John? You'd be wasting your breath. I'm quite sure everybody has told OJ in some way, shape, or form, reminded him about that day. So he's like, all right, I know. Yes, all right, get over it.
Yeah, it's not something easily gotten over.
He reads his Twitter comments. He knows.
But he's out there still living his life, and he's still being OJ. Isn't that something? And I wonder how long. I mean, this is just gonna keep going until OJ keeps going, until OJ stops going. All right, coming up, I've got the dumbest thing I read all morning, and I got to tell you this quick story about how one rock star hates probably the most popular rock star ever, at least the most popular rock star who's still living. That's some story. I got to tell you that next. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Most rockers look up to Paul McCartney. Many of them say it's because of you I became a rock person, a rock and roller. Well, singer and drummer of Genesis, Phil Collins, just told a story. And he said he used to feel that way, but he said he met Paul McCartney when Phil Collins was working at the Buckingham Palace party back in 2002. Paul McCartney came up to him with his then wife, Heather Mills, And Phil Collins had a first edition of The Beatles by Hunter Davies as a book. And Phil Collins said, I said to Paul McCartney, hey, Paul, do you mind signing this for me? And then Paul McCartney said, oh, Heather, our little Phil's a bit of a Beatles fan. And Phil Collins said, I thought you bleep. The word rhymes with truck.
What did McCartney say that was wrong? Phil is a Beatles.
He looked at his wife and he said, Heather, our little Phil's a bit of a Beatles fan.
Okay.
So he's kind of like, and Phil Collins isn't the tallest guy in the world. So he kind of made him feel like crap at that moment.
Okay.
And he said, Phil Collins said, Paul McCartney was one of my heroes, but he has this thing when he's talking to you where he makes you feel like, I know this must be hard for you because I'm a Beatle. I'm Paul McCartney, and it must be very hard for you to actually be holding a conversation with me. That's what Phil Collins said about meeting Paul McCartney.
I think Phil Collins is being overly too sensitive. Because here's what I think is happening. Paul McCartney has a very, very English accent, a heavy English accent, and everything they say sounds kind of condescending just because they have that air of, I'm Paul McCartney, little Phil, he's a fan of mine. I can see how it would sound kind of snobbish, but I think that's just how McCartney talks. He's not American, so with that accent, I think he does sound a little bit more condescending and snobbish than he actually really is.
But Phil Collins is from the same country that Paul McCartney's from. You'd think Phil Collins would know, but the way he told the story, he thought that Paul McCartney was just crapping all over him.
Little Phil, Little Phil's a bit of a fan, Heather. I can see how that can sound like royal snobbishness, but I don't think McCartney meant anything by it. He was just excited that Little Phil was a fan.
So Paul McCartney used to be one of Phil Collins' heroes until he met him, and then he didn't like the conversation I just described, and now Phil Collins hates Paul McCartney.
Just because of that one line. Little Phil's a bit of a fan, and that ruined all that legacy that Paul McCartney had built up in your head. He said one thing you didn't like, now you hate the guy. That's overly too sensitive.
That's some story, huh? Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Another ass in an airport. That's next. And it wasn't just his backside. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, I'm John Osterlund. It's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. A 44-year-old man got arrested for getting naked and pleasuring himself inside of an airport on Friday. This happened at the airport in Minneapolis, Minnesota. A 44-year-old man was naked and started pleasuring himself in the airport. And then he threatened to kill a TSA agent. And when they told him to put something on or stand down, he said, it's a free country. It's not quite that free where you can go into an airport, get naked, and start pleasuring yourself.
It's funny how people's moods work. This guy, he threatened to kill somebody, yet he was still able to turn himself on. Usually when I'm so enraged and angered that I want to kill somebody, I'm not turned on to where I can pleasure myself, or vice versa. When I'm turned on to the point where I can pleasure myself, I'm not thinking about killing anybody. But this guy, in one short time, went from being able to pleasure himself and threatening to kill somebody all within a few minutes.
Yeah, his emotions were all over the place.
Clearly, everything was all over the place.
His name is Frank Towers.
you idiot. 44 years old, and he got arrested Friday in Minneapolis at the airport because he got naked at the airport, started pleasuring himself, got into it with a TSA agent, threatened to kill that TSA agent. And when the airport police told him to stand down, he refused because, quote, it's a free country.
Clearly he wasn't standing down. He was standing up. If somebody threatened you and they didn't have any clothes on whatsoever, John, would you feel threatened by that? If they said, hey, I'm going to kill you, and you saw that they were butt-ass naked with no weapon or anything, would you take that threat seriously?
No, but, Coleman, this guy picked up a stanchion post, and he started swinging it around like a weapon.
Paya!
So he's swinging a post.
Hmm.
Probably wasn't the only thing swinging on him there in the airport. He swung it around and threw it at the TSA agent. Then the cops confronted him, and that's when he said, it's a free country. And after he said that, they had to tase him.
I'm quite sure the taser worked. He didn't have that much body armor on.
He was also punching and headbutting television screens in the airport. And at one point, he picked up a chair and threw it. He was arrested and charged with threats of violence and fourth degree assault, which are felonies.
You know, when people go crazy like this and start headbutting televisions and throwing posts all over the place and getting naked and pleasuring themselves and threatening lives, I wonder what possesses them to choose those locations? Like, why at an airport? Or why at a zoo? Like, when they pick these locations, I wonder what goes through their mind. Like, you know what? That'll be the perfect place. I'm going to go to the airport and just flip out.
A lot of crazy stuff has been happening lately at airports and on airplanes.
That's true.
We're seeing people who work for airlines getting punched, getting assaulted.
Paya!
And now you, with the people punching the airline employees, some are saying that has to do with having to wear a mask, and you know, we're at the end of the pandemic, and so some people are just losing it, but Who would go into an airport, take off all their clothes, and just start pleasuring themselves right there in the airport?
Was he going somewhere? Did he get a ticket? Like, where was he?
I don't know where he was going. I mean, he was in the airport for a reason. You would think there was a plane that he had to catch, or he was welcoming someone who was flying in from somewhere, but it didn't say anything about that in the story. All it said was this dude was in the Minneapolis airport on Friday. He got naked, started pleasuring himself, and started doing these other things, and they had to arrest him. So the 44-year-old Frank Towers, the man who threatened a TSA agent, got naked, pleasured himself, yelled, it's a free country, in the Minneapolis airport this past Friday. Man, that's the dumbest thing I read all morning. That's one that's so dumb, I've got a headache after reading it. I got to start reading some things that are better for my brain. That'll make me smarter and better. I gotta start doing that more here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlind. Yesterday it was announced that Journey is coming to New Orleans. Journey is playing with, I've seen either Billy Idol or Toto. And what I saw about New Orleans, that show, I saw Journey and Toto. Boy, it's something when you think of Journey, Billy Idol, and Toto. And it's going to be 2022. I mean, you're talking about bands that were big 40 years ago. You know, what year is it? Oh, really? Journey and Toto, Billy Idol. Wow, they're headlining arenas. They're playing arenas all over the country in 2022. That's something. Our show here in New Orleans is Friday night, April 15th at the Smoothie King Center. And we're going to give tickets away to that show starting today. Listen at 9:25. And you hear us play Journey at 9:25.
Yeah, within those hours, the 9 o'clock hour, the 2 p.m. hour, and the 5 p.m. hour. There's going to be a Journey song that plays in one of those hours.
Be listening, and if you hear Journey, then you go to our website, bayou957.com, click on the box that says, hey, win Journey tickets. And then you just, I think you
put in the title of the song.
You type in the name of the song. So that's cool. Tickets go on sale Friday for everybody. I think the pre-sale is Thursday. Life slowly getting back to normal. And that's it's cool. And you know that Journey box on our website, where you click, that's right below our King of the Bayou football NFL picks competition that we're having. And by the way, if you haven't signed up yet, we're at the halfway point of the season, you could still win $50 to spend at Zapardo's Family Market if you pick the most winners each week. And there's no point spread. You just pick the games. So when you get a second, if you haven't signed up yet, go sign up. It's free. It doesn't cost none. Sign up on our website, bayou957.com, and you could be in our King of the Bayou football contest. You won't be able to win the grand prize anymore, because that's for people who've been in it from week one, and we're giving out $6,000 worth of stuff, including a diamond ring, an autographed Drew Brees Saints jersey, an autographed Drew Brees football, giving away some cool stuff. But if you sign up now, if you haven't been in it, you could still win our weekly prize for the most winning picks each week, and that's the $50 to spend at Zapardo's Family Market in Metairie. So go to our website, bayou957.com, and then click on the King of the Bayou. And again, right next to that is where you win the Journey tickets as well. Our website's cool. A lot of cool things on our website at bayou957.com.
Yeah, even some tailgate tickets to see the Saints and the Buffalo games. How about that?
Coleman, are you still winning when it comes to Bayou crew with our King of the Bayou?
I'm winning. I'm dominating. I think I'm up by 5 right now.
Wow.
75. You're second place at 70. Ginty fell back to like fourth. I think right now, even the boss man, he's in the top 4. So he beat Ginty out.
So you're in first place by 5 games over me?
Yes.
I got to turn that around in the second half of the season. I mean, I got to defend my championship. I won the King of the Bayou last year for the Bayou crew, and I've got to win again because I know more about football than you do.
Yeah, I'm at 75. You're second at 70. Josh, our traffic guy, is at 68, and he's tied with Kevin, our boss man, at 68. And Ginty fell to 63. Huh.
Wow, he fell off the map.
Yeah. I hope Ginty's okay. It's all that running he was doing. Probably scrambling his brain.
Our website, Bayou957.com. It's a cool website. We tweaked it, we updated it, we got a lot of good stuff on there. Hey, you see who just made the news? O.J. Simpson is in the news again. Evidently, the other night, an attractive woman was somewhere, a bar, and O.J. Simpson came in. And she decided to make a video of herself with O.J., and she put it on TikTok. I mean, what would you do if you were in a bar or a restaurant or a store and O.J. Simpson walked in? I mean, would you say, hey, come here, I wanna make a video with you and put it on TikTok? And in the video, I think he tried kissing her.
Yeah, he tried.
And she backed away.
Rejected!
Yeah, she's this blonde woman.
In all fairness, the way she was fangirling over O.J., I think he caught the mixed signals, because she was like, oh, it's O.J., he's a Cadillac. So I think she was so into O.J.'s fangirling that when O.J. was like, oh, I might have a chance with this one. So I think he went in, because she was kind of close.
O.J.'s thinking that it's life before he pretty much decapitated his wife with a knife and her friend Ronald Goldman.
Clearly. Yeah, he read the signals wrong. Yep.
He lives in Las Vegas. And, you know, he goes out places. I mean, he was affected by the pandemic as well. But evidently, when he goes out places, people still go up to him. And they, hey, O.J., I mean, look what he did. Yet people would still go up and get right next to him. And
to be honest, I don't understand why O.J. is going out. He is 74 years old. What the hell is this geriatric ass going out to clubs for in the first place? Did you know he was 74?
Yeah, he's O.J.
What the hell is he? His 74-year-old ass need to carry his ass home somewhere. Instead, he's out with the clubs with these 20-something teeny boppers.
Do you know the life he lived before he killed his wife and her friend? Do you know the life he lived? Everywhere he went, people went up to him, attractive women went up to him and said, hey, O.J., what's up? So in his mind, you know, he's probably thinking, well, you know, that's how my life always was. And sure, now it's a little bit different, but I'm still O.J.
Yeah, I get that. But once again, if I was in that position and this woman was doing the stuff she was doing, putting me on video, singing all my praises and all that, I would have thought she was into me too. OJ fell when he went into the kiss and she did that little lateral move and she dove out the way. But before that, it really looked like she was into OJ. I can't blame him for believing that, because she was giving out all the wrong signals.
But when he tried to kiss her, the look on her face got very awkward.
Oh yeah. Oh no. She completely transformed. She's like, oh, and backed up. But before that, it looked like she was really into some O.J.
Wow. I wish I could tell you what I would do if I was sitting at a bar or in a restaurant and O.J. walked in. I
would just go, huh. And that was it, and continue drinking my beer.
You wouldn't say killer?
No, I wouldn't say anything to O.J. No.
Anything like that?
No. No, I would not. I wouldn't want to leave suddenly, because I think that'll be too obvious that I might feel uncomfortable. Like, I got to get out of here. OJ's here. But I would finish my beer and say, oh, that's it for me. Got to go home.
Wow. Well, OJ, he's still living his life. He's going out. He's going up to younger blonde women and talking to them, being in videos with them, trying to kiss them. How about that?
Yeah, this text says, pimping don't die. All right, I guess OJ's big pimping with a 74-year-old ass.
Yeah, what would you do if you were out someplace and OJ walked in? It would be tough for me not to say something about him killing his wife and
you don't think
and,
he's
and her friend.
He's had to hear it all by now. He's all on Twitter. You think there's nothing you can say to OJ that he hasn't heard already, John? You'd be wasting your breath. I'm quite sure everybody has told OJ in some way, shape, or form, reminded him about that day. So he's like, all right, I know. Yes, all right, get over it.
Yeah, it's not something easily gotten over.
He reads his Twitter comments. He knows.
But he's out there still living his life, and he's still being OJ. Isn't that something? And I wonder how long. I mean, this is just gonna keep going until OJ keeps going. Until OJ stops going. All right, coming up, I've got the dumbest thing I read all morning. And I got to tell you this quick story about how one rock star hates probably the most popular rock star ever. At least the most popular rock star who's still living. That's some story. I got to tell you that next. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Most rockers look up to Paul McCartney. Many of them say it's because of you I became a rock person, a rock and roller. Well, singer and drummer of Genesis, Phil Collins, just told the story. And he said he used to feel that way, but he said he met Paul McCartney when Phil Collins was working at the Buckingham Palace party back in 2002. Paul McCartney came up to him with his then wife, Heather Mills, and Phil Collins had a first edition of The Beatles by Hunter Davies as a book. And Phil Collins said, I said to Paul McCartney, hey, Paul, do you mind signing this for me? And then Paul McCartney said, oh, Heather, our little Phil's a bit of a Beatles fan. And Phil Collins said, I thought you bleep. The word rhymes with truck.
What did McCartney say that was wrong? Phil is a Beatles.
He looked at his wife and he said, Heather, our little Phil's a bit of a Beatles fan.
Okay.
So he's kind of like, and Phil Collins isn't the tallest guy in the world. So he kind of made him feel like crap at that moment.
Okay.
And he said, Phil Collins said, Paul McCartney was one of my heroes, but he has this thing when he's talking to you where he makes you feel like, I know this must be hard for you because I'm a Beatle. I'm Paul McCartney, and it must be very hard for you to actually be holding a conversation with me. That's what Phil Collins said about meeting Paul McCartney.
I think Phil Collins is being overly too sensitive. Because here's what I think is happening. Paul McCartney has a very, very English accent, a heavy English accent. And everything they say sounds kind of condescending just because they have that air of, I'm Paul McCartney. Little Phil, he's a fan of mine. I can see how it would sound kind of snobbish. But I think that's just how McCartney talks. He's not American. So with that accent, I think he does sound a little bit more condescending and snobbish than he actually really is.
But Phil Collins is from the same country that Paul McCartney's from. You'd think Phil Collins would know, but the way he told the story, he thought that Paul McCartney was just crapping all over him.
Little Phil, Little Phil's a bit of a fan, Heather. I can see how that can sound like royal snobbishness, but I don't think McCartney meant anything by it. He was just excited that Little Phil was a fan.
So Paul McCartney used to be one of Phil Collins' heroes until he met him, and then he didn't like the conversation I just described, and now Phil Collins hates Paul McCartney.
Just because of that one line. Little Phil's a bit of a fan, and that ruined all that legacy that Paul McCartney had built up in your head. He said one thing you didn't like, now you hate the guy. That's overly too sensitive.
That's some story, huh? Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Another ass in an airport. That's next. And it wasn't just his backside. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlund. It's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. A 44-year-old man got arrested for getting naked and pleasuring himself inside of an airport on Friday. This happened at the airport in Minneapolis, Minnesota. A 44-year-old man was naked and started pleasuring himself in the airport. And then he threatened to kill a TSA agent. And when they told him to put something on or stand down, he said, "It's a free country." It's not quite that free where you can go into an airport, get naked, and start pleasuring yourself.
It's funny how people's moods work. This guy, he threatened to kill somebody, yet he was still able to turn himself on. Usually when I'm so enraged and angered that I want to kill somebody, I'm not turned on to where I can pleasure myself, or vice versa. When I'm turned on to the point where I can pleasure myself, I'm not thinking about killing anybody. But this guy, in one short time, went from being able to pleasure himself and threatening to kill somebody all within a few minutes.
Yeah, his emotions were all over the place.
Clearly, everything was all over the place.
His name is Frank Towers.
You idiot!
44 years old, and he got arrested Friday in Minneapolis at the airport because he got naked at the airport, started pleasuring himself, and got into it with a TSA agent, threatened to kill that TSA agent. And when the airport police told him to stand down, he refused because, quote, "It's a free country."
Clearly, he wasn't standing down. He was standing up. If somebody threatened you and they didn't have any clothes on whatsoever, John, would you feel threatened by that? If they said, "Hey, I'm going to kill you," and you saw that they were butt-ass naked with no weapon or anything, would you take that threat seriously?
No. But, Coleman, this guy picked up a stanchion post, and he started swinging it around like a weapon.
Paya!
So he's swinging a post. Probably wasn't the only thing swinging on him there in the airport. He swung it around and threw it at the TSA agent. Then the cops confronted him, and that's when he said, "It's a free country." And after he said that, they had to tase him.
I'm quite sure the taser worked. He didn't have that much body armor on.
He was also punching and headbutting television screens in the airport. And at one point, he picked up a chair and threw it. He was arrested and charged with threats of violence and fourth-degree assault, which are felonies.
You know, when people go crazy like this and start headbutting televisions and throwing posts all over the place and getting naked and pleasuring themselves and threatening lives, I wonder why... What possesses them to choose those locations? Like, why at an airport? or why at a zoo? Like, when they pick these locations, I wonder what goes through their mind. Like, you know what? That'll be the perfect place. I'm going to go to the airport and just flip out.
A lot of crazy stuff has been happening lately at airports and on airplanes.
That's true.
We're seeing people who work for airlines getting punched, getting assaulted.
Paya!
And now you... With the people punching the airline employees, some are saying that has to do with having to wear a mask, and you know, we're at the end of the pandemic, and so some people are just losing it. But who would go into an airport, take off all their clothes, and just start pleasuring themselves right there in the airport?
Was he going somewhere? Did he get a ticket? Like, where was he?
I don't know where he was going. I mean, he was in the airport for a reason. You would think there was a plane that he had to catch, or he was welcoming someone who was flying in from somewhere, but it didn't say anything about that in the story. All it said was this dude was in the Minneapolis airport on Friday. He got naked, started pleasuring himself, and started doing these other things, and they had to arrest him. So the 44-year-old Frank Towers, the man who threatened a TSA agent, got naked, pleasured himself, yelled, "It's a free country," in the Minneapolis airport this past Friday. Man, that's the dumbest thing I read all morning. That's one that's so dumb, I've got a headache after reading it. I got to start reading some things that are better for my brain, that'll make me smarter and better. I got to start doing that more here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.